God are you. There's power in that name. In that name of Jesus, you know, Satan has to flee. Spirits, demon. No other name has given, you know, above or below. That has as much power as that name. We love that name tonight. Amen. So let us have a word of prayer. I'll let you guys go ahead first. Thank you. I am sorry. Let's continue praying from our brother, Pastor. After the surgery on, what, Thursday or Friday, he's still kind of recovering. So we continue praying that the Lord will quicken him soon and that you can have him back again. I prefer him than me anytime. I prefer Andy. The Bible said that's biblical. Prefer your brother. So I'm biblical, right? So anyway, it's a joy, and I'm glad to be here this morning. Are you glad? Are you happy to be here? There's no other place I'd rather be right now. But among the believers, the children of God. The way things are today, there's no other place you want to be, actually. Amen. So let us have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again. We love you. Father, we want to take you, not just in part, not just temporary, Father. We want to take you forever and ever, everlasting, Father. We want you to come to our hearts, possess these bodies, Father, change our minds. But we want all of you. Father, I know that in this body is impossible. That's a lot of power, Lord, but that's what you have given us just by measure. But Father, we're looking forward to that day that we don't have to struggle anymore, when we don't have to worry, when we don't have to go through the things we go through after we mature. And that day will come, Father. This will be different bodies, bodies that we can take, Father, as we were in the beginning, Father, with you before the foundation. Father, we're looking forward to that, Father, because we know that you promise, and it shall be done that way. Father, we ask you for those that are sick, those that are not here this morning. Our sister Esther, that is with pneumonia in the hospital, Father. Sister Navarro, Father. And the other one that were mentioned, Father, we just... Life is just a struggle, Lord. But I'm so glad that we have one that lifts us up. Amen. One that gives us hope, Father. It's one that take us and keep us, Father, from the evil one. He cannot do no more than you can allow him to do, Father. So we are safe and secure, Father. You're more than able this morning to take care of all this situation. And may you get the glory and the honor, Father, this morning. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. And before you sit, I just want to read one scripture. In Genesis 32:24, it says, "And Jacob was left alone. And there he wrestled with a man until the breaking of the day." Amen. Alone, that's when there's no more hope. There's no more help. You cannot go anywhere or ask anybody. You're done. You know, sometimes we have to come to that point when we alone with God. Because that's when things happen. We struggle, and we try, like Jacob did. But it comes a time that you have to just put everything aside. All you have tried, let go completely and just be alone with God. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So the title of my sermon is Wrestling with God. You know, sometimes don't look like you can do that, right? And if you do that, you're not going to win. So why? Do it. But the Bible said it happens. Excuse me. Jacob, we know what Jacob went through. His whole entire life, it was a struggle. And the only reason he was a struggle is because he was trying to make it happen. See, and that's what happens sometimes to us. We try so hard, and we need to stop sometimes. Because we come to a point that we done what we have done, and that's it. And you go for just so far. And Jacob was, his life was full of struggles from the very beginning. And his relationship with people was toxic, non-functional. That guy could not get along with anybody. His brother wanted to kill him because he stole, he tricked him and stole his birthright. Then he lied to his father, deceived his father. And then he runs away. And then he goes out there to his uncle's house and he manipulates his uncle. He scammed him because he wanted to have certain things from him, you know, animals. He worked 14 years with Laban and he looks back and he says, what do I have? Nothing. Worked 7 years for Rachel that I didn't ask you for that one. Leah, I wanted Rachel and you made me work 7 more years. And now he looks back and he don't have nothing. Because not even the children's or the wife. In those days, in the culture, belonged to Laban anyway. And he take care of everything. That was the place of, like Abraham, that was the place and the position. See? So, he is Jacob. And he's tired now. He's been running. And he's been lying. And he's been manipulating. He was trying to make things to come true. You see, he had a promise because he stole the promise. But not because he stole the promise, that means it wasn't good promise. Because God already knew the past from the future and the past. So he knew what was going to go on. And he said, I hate Esau because Esau despised the birthright. So everything is fine with God. Now you and I, we would criticize the guy for doing what he did. But sometimes we don't know what God is doing. Because God can take anything that the evil wants for bad and he turns it for good. Yeah. So don't criticize. Don't judge the book by the cover. You don't know what God is doing with anybody's life. God, you know what God is doing with your life. But that's it. You cannot figure anything out. Amen. I cannot even figure my life. I'm going to figure somebody else's life. I have a hard time. So Jacob was full of troubles. Whatever he looked was full of troubles. And sometimes we are living in a time that's all it is. It's a life that is full of troubles. And Solomon says it's a life that is, you know, it's vain. Everything that we do, excuse me. So, it's full of pain. Life is full of suffering. Man, it looks like, you know, we're just going to get out of here, right? But God has a purpose for all that, see? So here's Jacob. Brother Branham says, after Jacob had wrestled all night, instead of trying to ward away the man, Jacob held on him. Can you put I'm reading the quote. Okay. Instead of trying to ward away that man, Jacob held on to him. Oh, I wish we had about a half hour on that. It says, how that wrestling prince, he was able to hold on until he got what he was after. See, he won't let go until he get what he wanted. And that is the kind of faith that we need to have. Like Brother Brown says, faith like a bulldog. You know, when a bulldog holds you, he won't let you go. And we need to get hold to God. Today, more than ever, things are getting worse. Listen, it's not going to get any better. So we need to know how to get hold to God. And don't let him go until he give you what he promised you he will give you. And you know what? God wants to do that. You know how to beg God? God wants you to do that. And he said he just hold on till he got what he was after. He held on till. It took all night. And sometimes it take you more than all night, but it doesn't matter how long. Because we're not looking at the time, we're looking at the promise. See? But he stayed there. Stayed there. He wanted to be absolutely convinced. See? And when he stayed until God changed his walking, he was convinced. See? That's the trouble of today. Now, let's bring it home there now. See? We don't stay long enough till we get our walking convinced. Walking as a Christian is talking about. We don't walk like Christians. If we stay long enough with him, he will make you what? Walk different. He will make you talk different. He will make you live different. He will make you act different. In fact, sleep different. I need some of that sleep different. Completely, you can be different. Because that is what you're longing for. I'm tired of myself. Ain't you tired of yourself? But I'm tired of yourself. But you're not tired of me. We're tired of ourselves anyway. You know? I want to change. That's what we are here for. I want to be different. I'm sick and tired of Eli Ortiz. I want to be different. Completely different. Change. I don't want a partial change. I want a complete change. Until I will disappear completely and you will not see me any longer. At least not the Eli you used to know in the flesh. Like Paul says. See? Different. Talk different. Sleep different. Be different. And the reason is we don't stay long enough. We don't hold on. Oh, yeah, I prayed last week or whatever, last year, and God has an answer. Okay. Okay. I think it's going to need more than just one prayer. Well, I already pray and I believe. Okay. I'm not saying that you didn't believe. But sometimes it takes a little bit more persistence. Sometimes you have to stick with it until. The Bible said, do not, you know, pray, repeating, you know, prayers. And I already prayed about that last week and should be enough. Who told you that was enough? You made that up because I don't see in the Bible. I'm going to show you that that's not what the Bible says. You stay with it. You stay with it. You stay with it until. That's why we don't get what we want. So here is Esau. He's just finally, you know, his sin found him out. Finally, Brother Brown says. Now his brother is coming from one side with 400 of his men. And then Laban is coming from the other side with his men. Now he's caught in the middle. See? Now what Kim is going to do? What he's going to manipulate? He tried. I mean, he had a strategy. He ran away. See, that's what we do. And I do that, and I hate myself because sometimes when I'm facing a situation, when I'm facing a circumstance, you know what I do? I start thinking, what will I do when I get there? Or what will I do when I see that person? Or what will I do when this and that happens? What will I do when I get in the airplane that I'm so, phobia about in close places? And I know what's going to happen. Anxiety is going to get the best of me. But then I start thinking, you know, well, if this is going to happen, then I will do this. And I start fabricating this nice plan. And that's what he was doing. He started fabricating. You see, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my family on the other side of the brook, you know, and I'm going to come back. And then I'm going to send gifts to my brother. I had it all planned. I'm going to send him animals and gifts. And I'm not going to send this gift like at one time. divided it in five, group of five. And then he sends gift, and he says some of his people that had to take the gift. Why? He figured, well, if this is an ambush and he's going to get me, let him get them first, then I will know what to do next. See, he had it all. If this happened, I know what I'm going to do. So he sent one group, and he sends two groups, and then 11 is coming from the other side. And now he's trying to figure out what's going on. Listen, you cannot figure out life. Stop trying. We need to depend on God or not. I mean, even if you could figure out something, what is the odds that will happen anyway? Life is too complex. You don't know all the ins and outs. Like, God knows everything from beginning to end. I mean, you can try whatever you want to, but it will not work. I'm going to tell you right now, it will not work. I tried all my life. I've been just like Jacob, running around, rebellious, left the house, got into a war, got worse after I came out of the war. Nothing would have worked for me. I tried everything. Looking for what? For what Jacob wanted, a promise, happiness, whatever. But you know, until God comes to your life, you will not find what your soul will need. Amen. We try to fill that with something else. Right. But the only thing that can satisfy that soul, amen, is God himself. Amen. And that's what happened when he found me, or I found him. The struggle was over. And we're going to see that after, you know, Jacob finished that night, his struggle was over. He was a different person. Why? Because now, finally, he gave it all to God. See, he didn't have to scheme, he didn't have to manipulate, he didn't have to lie, he didn't have to trick any longer. Sometimes that's what we do, and that's why sometimes government, I don't know where he went anyway. That's what governments do, that's what people do. You know, they fabricate things. Oh, everything is all right, the economy is all right, and yeah, the bank is all right, and yes, just relax. Don't take all your money out. We don't want panic. Everything is okay. I assure you. Mm-hmm. I know you're lying now because you assure, nobody can assure anything. But they want to. You know, they want to tell you this is the plan and we are working on it. And don't panic. And that's how not only the government works. That's business. I don't care. Nobody knows the future. You can try to, you know, I always said, you know, the guy at the TV, they prognosticate that it's going to rain. And he always tells you, at least I'm glad he says, it's only about a 30 chance. Well, I'm glad he's, you know, he knows his ignorance, that he cannot 100% accurate say it's going to rain at this time, at this hour, at this minute, in this place. No, only God can do that. So at least he leaving room for what? Mistakes, you know. Well, it was only 30%. You know, I'm glad that God is not a 30 or a 60%. When God tells you something, that's what it is and will happen. And you can take that to the bank. I mean, God cannot lie. I'm glad because he said it, he will do it. And that's all it is. But see, I can tell you I'm going to do something for you, and I might, and I might not. And even if I got good intentions and I tell you, I want to do this for you, I want to help you, or whatever it is, then, but I don't know life. Something else come from the side and kind of hit me. Maybe, like for example, my son wanted me to go Saturday to help him to assemble a pool and level the ground and all that, and I told him yes. Sorry, so he called me. Whenever, Friday. Anyway, so I say yes. But then the next thing I know, I get another text saying, you're preaching Sunday morning. You see, you don't know life. You can plan all you want to. And that's fine, plan. We need to plan. But don't just, you know, think that is just, you know, the way it's going to be. Because you don't know. So I had to call my son, and I wanted to text him and let him know, hey, I cannot help you. I got a study. But then I left it there, and then he texted me back. I don't think we'll be able to do it. I got a lot to do, and I'm tired, and I got to take my daughter to ball practice, and I got to do it. I said, oh, I'm glad. Because I already asked, promised that I was going to go. But see, God works things out for me. So, but that's what I'm saying. You can plan and you can try to help and you have the best intention. And when people fail, don't, you know, get even or don't get mad or don't get upset because we don't know. We can do the best that we know how to do with what we got, and that's all it is to it. And sometimes I used to make decisions as a father at home and my children's. And I made decisions based on what I knew then, according to this situation. I gathered whatever all information, and I had to make a decision because the decision had to be made there. So I asked, I looked, I read, and I said, okay, this is what we're going to do. Well, guess what? It was the wrong decision. I didn't know that. I thought at that moment, that was the best decision I could make with what I had. So don't blame me. I'm trying. We're trying as fathers. We're trying. We are not perfect. We're trying. If you ask me. And sometimes it works. And sometimes what? It won't work. But I'm glad that our Father, that's not the way He works. See? So I have learned. I have learned to wait on the Lord. I have learned to wait on prayer on the Lord. You know, what must I do with this? Now, I'm going to tell you what I would like to do, but I'm going to wait because I don't know if that's correct or not. I'm waiting on His word for me. So here's Jacob. So he's a troubled guy. And all his life was trouble until he wrestled with God. Now, there's a difference between a struggle and wrestling, okay? A struggle is when you are facing, you know, a difficult situation or circumstance, see, that is difficult to deal with. And you keep facing that thing. And you keep facing that thing. And it seems like it's not going to go away, Brother Augustine, but you're still facing it. And man, you hate to get up in the morning because you know what's going to happen. I got to deal with this thing, this situation, whatever it is. I don't know what your situation is, whatever. A besetting sin, I don't know. A sickness, I don't know. But when you wake up in the morning, it's going to be there. And you know that. And you're going to have to struggle. But the only difference is that won't change. It's just a struggle. See, we struggle. But we need to do something more than just a struggle. We need to get sick and tired of struggling and start wrestling with these things. Because that's what Jacob did. And that's what God wants you to do. Because wrestling is when you start focusing on trying, at least, one thing or another. See, now you are not just going to take it. You are going to see, I need to do something, and I need to do something right now. Amen. See? And that's what Jacob did. He got down on his knees. And he says, I got to do something because what I've been doing is not working. You know? From in Puerto Rico, we have a saying, from Guatemala to Guatapeor. That means you go from bad to worse. And Guatemala is a town, whatever, or a state in there. And Guatemala, mala means bad. Guatemala. So Guatapeor, peor means worse. So we go from bad to worse. See, but we don't want to do. We're tired. We want to resolve these things. I mean, don't you get sick and tired of the devil? Now, God is allowing this thing for a reason. Now, you got to look at the other side of the coin. It's for your own benefit anyway. But God is waiting on you. We're not waiting on God. So God wants us to do something. And sometimes we have to get sick and tired. You know, I hate myself when we have to wait that long. When we have so many promises. And not only that, God wants to do it. But His hands are tied. The whole army of angels are tied until waiting on your word. What do you want to do, guy? I know what we can do, but what are you going to do? So he wrestled with him. And this is the same thing in the sport, in this kind of a sport when people wrestle. That's what it is. What do you try to do? You don't try to struggle with the guy and that's it. You do more than a struggle. You're trying to find a way to break that grip. They put a toe hold. That's what Brother Branham calls it. It's a grip. You know, whatever it is, a chop hold, whatever they put on you, they try to put you down. That's the reason of the entire wrestling is to have control. Who is going to have control, see? Well, the same thing with us. Who is going to have control? Well, black dog or white dog? I don't know. Depend on you. Which one you want to feed the most? So the principle is control. Either God's going to control you or Satan is going to control you. I don't want nothing to do with Satan. I want my life to be led and guided and controlled by one spirit and one spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. And I already made my mind. I'm already committed. When I come to church, I'm committed. That whatever he wants me to do, that what I do. I might fail, but I prefer to fail trying, not to try it at all. I will commit my life. See, we don't come to church just to come to church. We committed people to his word. So here's Jacob. He wanted to resolve. This is how to end. You know, and we get sick and we go back to the hospital. That one has to end. Maybe we have to face something else later. But we have the way to deal with these things. And that's what God is trying us. Peter says, you know, the trial of our tests, our tribulations. We go through all these things because God is trying to try us. See, we're trying to mature. And I tell you something. Once you pass that test don't come back. Because you're already wise. You know what to do. But if you have a test that are recurring and coming and coming and coming, we need to wrestle with that thing. And I don't mean you have to wrestle with flesh and blood. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. You know, sometimes God can use anything. Can use your wife, can use your family, put it against you. But that's not your family. You don't go and retaliate on your family. You don't find vengeance in your family. But now when I get there, I'm going to tell them. Why? Because it's not your family. It is a spirit. And a spirit needs a body. See, that's what Brother Branham liked to go hunting. He wanted to get away from the spirits. See, because a spirit needs to have a body. And then some people allow a spirit to get hold to their hearts and then certain things and do certain things. Just like Job, his wife said, "Why don't you curse and die?" But that wasn't his wife. That was spirit. In fact, we all spirits, body, soul, and spirit. And your spirit is going to decide what's going to happen here this morning. I mean, if you have the right spirit, things will happen. But we all spirit. You go to work, you rush with a lot of spirits. You go to the mall, there's a lot of there are people, but our welfare is unseen. It's not with flesh and blood. So that's what Brother Branham says. If somebody did something to you, it's not your brother, it's not your sister, it's the devil. Right. Don't go and try to challenge your brother and your sister. God allowed that to happen, and you should try to know that your brother loves you. Maybe it wasn't intentional. Whatever it was, it pushed your button, offended you. Maybe it wasn't, he didn't want to do that. But the problem is, you need to get rid of the button, that brother says. Maybe he's using that person so you can get rid of something in your life. So don't blame the flesh. And if you're going to blame somebody, blame yourself, because we are flesh, we're spirit. And you know that you are your worst enemy. You are here to overcome you. Not me or the pastor. You are here to overcome you. Overcome your feelings, overcome your emotions, overcome your thoughts, overcome completely, wholly you. Let the Holy Spirit, let that power, you know, take over your spirit, your emotions, take over your spirit, take over your feelings and all these things and your wrong thoughts. See? That's why we are here, to overcome ourselves. So we're not wrestling with flesh. Don't blame the pastor. Oh, he's talking about me. Here we go. Maybe so, but the Spirit of God is the one talking of, not him. Don't blame him. He's just flesh. Don't wrestle with your pastor. You want to blame somebody, why don't you blame God? See how that far is going to go. So, what is wrestling with God? You're asking him, see, what you want in a persistent way in prayer. You want some things done? You need some change in your life? Do we need to be transformed? I don't care, whatever you have need in your knees. That's how you wrestle with God. See? Your brother. Okay, but he offended me. Pray for your brother. That's what Brother Brown says. When you take your brother accused you. I mean, he said that you did that, and I didn't do it. I didn't steal. I didn't. But he accused you of something. You take it to the throne of God. And you know you didn't do it. He said, when you start praying with that man, you find out that you have something to do with his situation too. See? We all got to do it. We're a body. So asking God what you want in a persistent way in prayer. And not only for ourselves, but for the church. We should not be pointing fingers. We should be pointing prayers everywhere we go. If you don't understand why the brother is acting that way, then pray. Don't pray, God, will you change my brother? No. Why don't you say, God, change me so I can look the right way and look at the right thing the right way? I want to look at my brother through your eyes, not my eyes. Remove my emotion, remove my feeling, remove myself out of the way. I want to see him as you see him. Because that's what you want, isn't it? Do unto others what you like them to do to you, right? And that's biblical. I'm not out of the Bible yet. So, if you want to make friends, what do? You show yourself friendly. That's biblical still. If you want someone to love you, why don't you go and love that person first? Well, I'm not going to that church. Nobody shook my hand. But go and shake everybody's hand first and introduce yourself. I'm that kind of a person. I'm not a people person. And this is the wrong place for me to be. I told Brother Jabra one time, John, I said, John, I don't like to be noticed. Even when I used to dress myself, I said, young man, I will use moderate clothes, not tight or anything. I don't want to be looked at. I don't know why. I was shy, and I'm still shy. In school, you know, in the graduation, when they line you in the front out there to give you your diploma, to do whatever, I was behind another guy like this, you know. That's how shy I was. Me and my wife, when we had the business, we used to go to this. They invite us to this place. What is it called? No, there we go. Huh? No, not the conventions. When you meet people, the business, insurances, anyway, marketing. What do they call that? Anyway, it's a place. And they do it once a month. I don't know. The city will do it. And insurance people come. Marketing people come. I mean, everybody. And you talk to them. And you try to what is, Andy, you check. Huh? No. I get it. So anyway, they invite us. But I'm not a people person. My wife is more people person than I am. So I let her go, and I just go in the corner. And that's the way I am. So I'm in the wrong place. And I told Brother Jabra, I'm in the wrong place. He said, well, if you're in the wrong place, you know, first of all, you play the trumpet. You make a lot of noise. And also, you preaching in public. I mean, you're in the wrong place, yes. Because those things, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be standing here. I'm assure you. I'm a very shy person, and I don't like to be noticed. In fact, you start looking at me, and I'll just probably walk away. Now, the kind of person that I am, and I'm glad that Brother Doug understand temperance and people, things, I will stay in the corner until someone come and pull me out. See? Somebody has to come and talk to me, and they start talking, and then I start getting comfortable, and I start getting warm up to that person. But it takes me time. And that's the kind of fellow that I am. So I don't know what I'm telling you this. I forgot what was the reason for this. But so in prayer, persistent, crying out to him like he did. Let's look at, I have a scripture here. Let me see what I am, because I don't know what I am. I know I'm here, but I mean, you know, I don't know what I am. Okay, so let's skip this here. Now, let's go to Matthew 11:12. I need to show you the concept. It says, yeah, just move on. I lost my notes anyway. It says, and from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So where do you think you join a picnic? This is not an entertainment. This is not a picnic. Jesus spoke, you know, here, illustrating that we have joined a spiritual war. We're in battle, and we are warriors. See, we have joined the army of God. And then we prevail. See, in laying hold to the kingdom of God, he says, by force, by spiritual force, not physical force. I told you, you cannot wrestle with flesh and blood. This is all in the spiritual realm. It's all it is to it. So Brother Man says, presuming, sure, but you all fight every inch until you are well. Whatever you need, you have to fight for every inch. You will take every step of it. See? Talking about possession. Every step you take, it means possession. It is a battle. The promise is yours. That was a promise, the promised land then. They had to fight to get every step of it. And the promise is yours. But you will fight for every inch of it. So God wants you to do that. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want to change? How bad do you want to be God makes a difference in your life? How bad do we want things? And God had to test us. Do you want it? How bad do you want it? See? And we're going to have to fight for it. And you know what? Fighting for is easier than keeping it. You know that? Because Satan is not going to stop there. Oh, well, God took him. Now I'm done. I lost him. No. You're going to overcome, but he's going to come back with something else. He will give you a punch today, and you might overcome that one, but he might come back another tomorrow. That's why I say we struggle. Life is a struggle. We're not done. We're not done until we're done. Like they said, until the fat lady will sing, whatever, the last song. I don't know how that goes. I don't know which one is that one, but anyway. So I can make her sing the last song so we can get out of here. And like I said, we are our worst enemy. He said, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Your mind, see? Your flesh, nobody can tame your heart. All the things that come out corrupt, the bad things come from our heart. Our flesh. He says, neither indeed can be, because it's enmity, hostility, see? It's opposed, it's hatred. See? But the Bible says, we wrestle. The Bible says here, not against flesh and blood. It says, we don't try to break the toehold in the wrestling ring with flesh and blood. Good luck if you can. But we try to break heart holes of the spirit that got hold of the people, got into their system, into their heart, making them do and say things that's wrong. But that's not your brother. That's the spirit. See? And the reason we need to do is to pray. See? Not to judge people. This is not time for judgment yet. This is time for mercy. This is still time for mercy. And you don't want nobody to be lost. Whatever you tie, you tie. Whatever you lose, you lose. You don't want somebody to go ahead because you don't want to forgive him, and you want to tie him to that. For how long? If you're going to tie, for how long? What about if he die and you never say, forgive me, or I forgive you? We don't want to hold anybody. Just lose them. God did to you. He forgave you all your sins. He loosed you from the threshold, from the toehold of Satan, that grip that he had on you. He lost. See? So, the man says, into their heart, making them do and say things that's wrong. So, it's not your brother. So, let's look at this concept of wrestling, persisting in prayer. Luke 18:19. Let's go to that verse right quick. It's warm in here. Or it's me. Anyway. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. What end was that? Prayer. If you read what is coming down. That men ought always to pray and not what? Faint. Saying, there was a city, a judge, which feared not God, neither regards any man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me, O my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, for I fear not God, and not regard man, yet because this widow troubled me. You can trouble God. Don't worry about it. Be persistent. God is not going to get mad at you. God loves you. And God wants you to do that. He wants to give you what you need. He wants to help you. He wants to care for you. He wants to love you. He said, because the widow troubled me. Yeah, but you're not going to trouble God. In fact, I don't think we trouble God enough. I will avenge her, lest be her continual coming, she worry me. See? And the Lord said, hear what the unjust just said. And shall not God avenge his own elect? Any need you have today, anything that you're going through, any struggle, all we have to do is just be persistent in prayer. Because that is what God wants. God wants to heal you. I mean, he is God and he's the healer. And he wants to prove that he is what he is. But he's waiting on you. We're not waiting on him. He said, God avenged his own elect, which cried day and what? And night unto him. So he bear along with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. I think we don't even have to go for the troubles that we go through if we just speedily do what we need to do. Yeah. Why would you want to put up with things? But they just, we know what to do. We know what to do and how to do things. Nevertheless, he says, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find this kind of faith? Not a faith, this kind of faith. Brother Barnes says it's a faith that has muscles, you know, that has hair in the chest. It's a faith that gets hold to God and will not let go. We sing that song, will not let you go until you bless me. See, that's what Jacob had. He just held on. And sometimes we go into trouble and situations and sickness and diseases. I don't know, all the stuff that comes our way. Let me tell you, sometimes we hit a wall of circumstances. And we cannot even, you know, go up or down, or we cannot cross it, and we cannot climb it, and we cannot go down. So what did you do? You sit there, you wrestle with the word of God, and you hold on, because God will make a way. Amen. We just don't throw our hands, okay, well, God, whatever your will is. We know what the will of God is.
It's waiting on you to go ahead and voice the will of God.
Well, that sister or that brother is sick, but I don't know if he dies or not. I don't know. Whatever the will of God is, what do you think the will of God is? God is not in death. God is in life. You know? Yeah, but what about what? You cannot figure it out anyway. So why don't you go with the word and the promises of God? They are more sure than our own thoughts. Don't lean to your understanding. Just take the word of God. At least it's more sure. And if the person died, that's okay. But the man says, if I pray for 500 people today and they die, I pray for 500 more tomorrow. Why? Because the word of God cannot fail. But people, if they don't have the faith, they say they have faith, and they don't have faith, that's people. But God will not lie. So Brother Brahman says, if I pray for 500 today and they die, I do 500 tomorrow. Why? Because I had nothing to do with God. That had nothing to do with the word of God. See? Because we want to blame somebody already. We like to put our blame in something else. So he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on this earth? And that is my question today. Do we have that kind of faith here? Do we have that kind of faith for my brother and my sister? You know, there's some people in trouble, Sister Navarro, Sister Esther, and we have troubles. They got troubles. You know, it behooves us to get down on our knees and exercise this faith persistently, claiming. I would like to do what I know they will do for me. See, sometimes we're hurting. Sometimes we're going through things. And we are trying to we want somebody to get hold to God for us. And we are body. We are depending on one another. We depend on God, but God needs to use flesh. And this is the time. Things are getting worse out there. This is the time when we need to get down in our knees for our brothers and sisters. This is time to stop the fussing, time to criticize, the judging. This is the time that we need to step up. Amen. There's no more time. Things are getting so bad. Last night I was listening at the news quickly. Another shooting in Texas. This guy got an RA-15, I think it was. That's an assault weapon. Where he got it, I don't know. It doesn't matter. The thing is that he's shooting his gun in the front yard. So the guy across or next to him, he yells at him, to stop, or the wife, because the children's scared and they need to go to sleep. So what do you think the guy done? He packed it and went home? No, he went to their house and shot them all, five of them. That's the kind of world we are living today. In fact, I got two dogs that are making too much noise. I hope the neighbor don't come around with a gun. You don't know what people... Brother Brown says these people, at the end time, people will go crazy. You're talking about going crazy. People, they are self-centered. They have no feeling for nobody. They just want what they want, and they don't care about nobody else. They don't even care about your life. Their life is more important than yours. See? So they don't care. But that's not them. I told you already. The Bible said perilous day will come. Let me read you that. I don't think I have it in. If I do, I do. If I don't, I don't. But you can find it for me. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. It says, we don't have to fight with Satan. Then we don't have to fight with ourselves, that we're our worst enemy. We have to fight with everybody out there. We have to wrestle. This is not just here. This is everywhere you go. You don't know. You don't know. It says, and this know also that in the last days, today, perilous, dangerous time shall come. They're here. Sorry. This scripture is fulfilled today in your life. Times that are going to be hard to bear for some of us. You can even send your children to school and you worry at home what's going to happen. Out there in Illinois, whatever, Indiana,
in about three times.
Enough of that. We don't want to concentrate too much on that. But
things that are hard to deal, troubles. We are living in troublesome times, people. And we need to know how to deal with troubles sometimes. God has given us the power. God has given us the spirit. God has given us whatever. The best weapon that he could have given is his word. It says, dangerous, troublesome day. For men shall be lovers of their own soul. Selfish. I don't care about you, what you want. It's what I want. See? Self-centered. I am the center of the universe, and everybody has to rotate around me. Covetous, they're greedy. They want what you got and more. And that's why they go and do what they do. The boasters, proud, you know, arrogant. You know, they are blasphemers, the Bible says. They are abusers, is what they are. They blaspheme. They're disobedient. That's a serious offense in my home world, in this church too. God would not allow disobedience. That's a serious offense. Unthankful. So they're obsessed. You know, hey, I did it all. I did it my way. You know, hey, I deserve some credit for this. Listen, if God wasn't giving you that life you got, you would not even get anything done. We should thank God. I mean, you do things for people, they don't even tell you thank you anymore. Our children, I go sometimes to schools and pick up and I open the door and the kids, the mother is actually, they don't say thank you. The kid says at least thank you. Somebody's teaching them, okay, but parents, well, I deserve for you to open the door for me. Yeah, that's what they think, you know. Unholy, and we know that one, there's no moral parents compass anymore. And we know where we're going with that one. Without natural affection, people are not human any longer. A person that kills another human being, that's inhuman. You have to be out of your head. I mean, you have to be crazy. Actually, you have to be crazy to kill another person. Because your body will not allow. I mean, you have to be out of your mind. And you are. When we do those things with a natural affection, truth breakers, they break the covenant. They promise you they're going to do something just so they can take everything you got, and then they break, you know, the promise. Because all they want is to get whatever. It's a truth breaker. She says, and they're despisers, fierce. See, aggressive people are there. He says, despisers, they hate you. Those that are good are Christian, they hate you. Just because you are Christian and you love God and you like good things. In fact, listen, my friend, the Bible said, this sign shall follow those that what? See, we don't look for signs. Sign will follow. But Satan knows that, so he has his own version. Listen, my friend, if you don't have trouble, don't worry, because trouble will follow you. You don't have trouble right now, don't worry. When you step out of there, trouble will find you. I don't care where you go, work at Walmart. Trouble will find you, and you have to be ready to deal with trouble. No more compass, he says, without natural affection, truth breaker, false accusers. You know, yeah. That's what they did to Jesus. They slammed your name and everything. Incontinent, that means lacking self-restraint. Uncontrolled, he says. He says, despiser, detester, hate abomination. He says, traitors. Wow. This is today. I'm reading about the conditions out there. This is what is out there. Traitors, deserve, betray, backbiter, heady, intoxicating, you know, people with drugs, dying with drugs, they like the excitement, the acceleration, see? High-minded, they think himself worthy of themselves, great things. See, they think they're worthy. Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of what? Of God. having a form of godliness. See, some they look holy, holy, but they're not holy. But denying the power thereof, for such says, turn away. Amen. So, a struggle. So we are living in difficult times. We got widespread apostasy. People are leaving. I was reading a report. Mainly women are leaving churches by the ton. And they're trying to figure out how to bring them back, how to attract. I mean, but it's supposed to happen. Remember? When that day comes, the apostate, who is it? Well, when that one, you know, Satan himself, take a flesh, take somebody, control somebody. We know that that's the day that we are living right now. Amen. Also, it's great suffering. And the Bible says that before the end, all these things, what? Will happen. But you and I have a weapon to fight all these things. God has equipped us, see, with a weapon. It says, 2 Corinthians 10:14, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, you can get out of that choke hole when he comes around, Satan, and trying to grip you, trying to take you, and trying to change you, trying to hold you, trying to control you. You can break those chains. You don't need to put up with that. You see? Because our weapon of warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We use God's mighty weapon. See? Not a worldly weapon. Amen? So we can knock out Satan. Sometimes strongholds are reasoning. Sometimes Satan comes and puts thoughts in your hand. Reasoning, arguments, logic. All this stuff, we cast that down. If it's exalting self above the word of God, don't entertain it. If it's not in the Bible, don't do it. Because you got the power to do that. You got the power this morning to choose. It is all on you. You got the power of life or death in your tongue to choose which way you're going to go this morning. So we are going to use God's mighty weapon. See? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. That's 5. I don't know if you're following me, but so we destroy every proud thought. We destroy every proud thing that comes that keeps people from knowing God. We need to pray for one another because we want to know God. That's the reason we come to church. I want to know more and more. I want more of Him. So we have to pray to cast down all these thoughts, all these spirits. Listen, leave your flesh outside when you come to church, because Satan needs your flesh. The spirit needs that. But if we just completely leave ourselves out, like Brother Brown says, if I can take myself out and let God have control, then things will happen. He says, number 6, and having in a readiness to revenge. Okay, revenge. So what he's talking about here, revenge means to insubordination. You know, we had some time insubordination in our churches. That's a spirit. That's not the people. They come in, just take one, and then finally, you know, misery, large company, so you get two. And they're starting on subordinating against the pastor. Start talking. See? So what he's saying, and having a readiness to revenge, that means these people are disobedient, because we know that's not in the word. That's not God. So when you and I act the way we're supposed to us, obedience, and we do, as a church, what we're supposed to do, we're rebuking that, see? We say, we're not accepting that in this. But how are we going to do? We're going to get down. And we're going to chase the spirit out of here. Either the spirit live or the person live and take the spirit, whatever way it works. We should not put up with anything but the Spirit of God in this church. We don't want all the spirit in this church. I don't want any other one. Then he says here in James 1:6-8, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. See? For that waver is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind. You know, comes and goes. It's not stable. Today, yes. Tomorrow, no. Today up and tomorrow down. See? He said, not let that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We got to make sure that our minds are made up.
Amen.
Period. Yeah. Nothing less. Once you take the word of God, you stick with it. And you hold on to the word of God. And you take nothing less but his word. You want things to disappear. You want troubles to go away. You want God to bless you. You hold on to his word. I don't care how he's going to speak to you. He spoke face to face to Jacob. See? He might speak to you through the word. But whatever word he speaks to you, or whatever word you got understanding, and that's a revelation, hold on to it. It's yours. We are not here to entertain you. I'm not here to just look good. And I don't even know how to do none of that stuff. You're here, so whatever God speaks to your heart, you hold on to that word. God knows what you have need. Everybody has a need. And I don't, but through the pulpit, through the word, God will meet your need. When he meets your need, hold on to that word. Don't waver. Don't doubt, because Satan will put doubt. You just hold on. You just... to that word. And don't move from there. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. See? And lean not to your own understanding. But the man says, there is only one way provided by God. And so, here we are tonight. And in the place is converted from trying to bind one another by wrestling knots. Okay, must be an arena for wrestling. And they're having a meeting. And trying to tie the devil in such a knot by the scriptures. That's what we're trying to do. See? Instead of him tying me down, I want to tie him down. I'm tired of him. He tied me down too much. I'd like to tie him now. He says, he cannot get out of until he takes the count. Because that's what wrestling is. Hold him down. In fact, it's under your foot. Take your foot and put it in his neck and hold it down until one, you're out of here. You're done. But you do that in your knees. You pray and you pray and you persist and you pray and you pray and you hold him down too while you're praying. Hold him down with that word. See? And he has to leave. One of these days God's going to say, you know, done. He's going to put his hand out. Please let me go. See? He says, to tie the devil's notion up by the scripture, he cannot get out of until he takes the count. That's right. And now we pray that the Lord will help us do this. So, I want to give the devil a hard time, don't you? If you're nice to me and say amen, I'll let you go at 12 o'clock. You are nice to me anyway, even if I don't. So, John 5:24, very, very see, I say unto you, he that hear my word and believe in him that sent me has everlasting life, and he shall not come into condemnation, but he passes from death unto life. I just put that there because I know some more people, they feel condemned. You know, they're carrying luggage. Listen, my friend, we need to move forward. God wants to do something with you, but we need to move forward. And he's not going to move forward unless you start taking a step forward to him. So some people, you need to lose the baggage. Amen. Things happen to you. I understand it. I'm not being insensitive. But it's time for you to put that in God's hand. It's time to move forward, because as long as we continue being condemned or feeling bad, we will never progress. And God wants you to progress to maturity. But Satan wants to hold you down, see? In this knot. He wants to choke you with this, condemning you. Well, I don't think I'm worthy. Well, I don't know if I got the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't know if I'm going to make it. That's one day. The next day, you know, you're on top of the hill. The next day, you know, God cannot work with that. That's what I call jojo, you know. Jojo, jo, up and down. Because it's not God. Jo means jo, I. In Spanish, jo, y-o, jojo, you know. Y-O, Y-O. See, Jacob wrestled with God until he got what he wants. And he wasn't the only one. This is not new. You say, but show me in the New Testament. You know, Jesus, in his sermon, he has to wrestle with God. Why? He was in distress. He was in trouble. So much intense pain that he even sweat blood and water. Well, he was wrestling with God. God, don't we? Can we do this another way? He did. And then after he finished, what happened? God blessed him and sent two angels to minister to him. And he was sober. He knew what he needed to do, even though it was painful. But he went and did. And sometimes that is what happened, but we want to be blessed. We want God to bless us. So we need to hold on and wait for him. He says, and not only Jesus, look at Paul. Paul, as another example, he prayed three times. Not one time. He was persistent, not two times. And for the same thing. So who is telling you not to do that? That one time is good enough. Be persistent. And he said, can you take this thing out of me? You know, he had a thorn in his flesh. You know, Satan to keep him honest. And what did God say? He answered, okay. He says, you know, enough with my grace. In your weaknesses, were you strong? See? God allows certain things. You know, listen, my friend, you're going to have to fight with certain things the rest of your life, but it is not for them to have control of you. It's for you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to keep these things under control. They might not disappear. You are who you are. I am what I am. And I'm wired up different. And I got my things that I fight with. And we all got things that we fight with. You know? And we might fight with him all the rest of our life until he comes. But you got the power to keep those things in the locked. Like, because God wants to manifest himself to you. We are not robots. Can you imagine that we all doing well, then God don't need anymore, and we don't need God. But as long as I'm in this flesh, I'm going to need God. See? From time, he says, and I can give you even Abraham. Abraham, he debated with God. He had a discussion. I mean, that's also a way of wrestling, you know, but it's not physically. It's mentally, you know, word by word. Sometimes we do that in the message. In the message, I throw you a quote and you throw me another quote. But that's not what he said. No, but that's what he said. Well, he's three. No, he's two. Or he's one. You know, God don't fight God. How can you use the word to fight the word? God don't fight God. Bride don't fight bride. Why? Because it's just one bride, and it's one word. And if you don't understand the meaning, leave it alone until you do. Ask God for wisdom. But sometimes, you know, I throw you a quote, you throw me another quote. You think that's what, you know, this thing is for? So we can disagree and debate? Actually, we're supposed to agree, right? So we're supposed to pray and be in one accord. In one mind. And find out what this is all about. See? Jacob, see? He was in trouble until, let me read you. Can we go to, let's go to the end, because I promise you, yeah, I'm going to pass 5 minutes. I told you I will let you go 12. Let's go to, do I have an unchanged God? 63:26. Is that my last one? Okay, 62:20.
Okay, so this one is not in there, but I'm going to read it, and I want to finish with this one.
So it says, Jacob is another character. He was caught between two occasions. He had done some mean things, some sneaky little tricks to his father-in-law, Laban. And he was running from his father-in-law, going back home to mama. And when he come to find out, he had come his brother that he had done very dirty little tricks. He said, too, was coming, meeting him with an army. Just remember, your sin shall find you out. And then Jacob, all disturbed, perplexed, troubled, set his wife across the little brook, went back on the other side in an unexpected place, in an unexpected time, and he met God in an unexpected way, he says. What a way to meet God in a rustling marsh. But it was God, regardless of wherever he is, in the burning bush, a rustling marsh, it was God. Amen. And the main thing was that Jacob, he had dreams and visions and so forth, but this was one time that he could lay his hand on something, see? That's what the world, they are looking for something. See, and he was able to hold on until the blessing came. Oh, if we could do that, if we could find a spot to where we could see God. Well, you might not see God like they saw God, but God is the Word. And if God reveals you and shows you a word that it meets your need, hold on to it. Hold on to it. He says, if he could do that, if I could find a spot to where we could see God, whether it is in his word, whatever is and recognize is God, and hold on until the blessing will come. Wrestle it out with God. Not with your brother, not with your sister, not with your pastor. If you have a problem, go and talk to my boss. Wrestle with him about it. God promised to do it. God said, if we seek, we find. Ask, and it shall be given. Knock, and it will be opened. Every word is true. When Jacob got a hold of something that he could look at, hold with his hand, and seeing that it was God, he would not turn it loose. See? Say, I don't even need the help. Why? He was convinced, meaning he don't need the help to fight his brother or to fight Laban. When he got blessed, he didn't need anything but what? But God. He was convinced that the God that he had and hold of could take care of what? Of everything. Amen. Hallelujah. If people would just do that. You can stand. I'm going to read you one more scripture to show you that this is not me, but the Bible speaks about. I want to go to, I think I put it down. I don't know. I'm all over my notes, but I don't care. As long as God is all over me, I don't care about the notes. So let's see. Let me read you first Psalm 13. If you can put it on the screen, Psalm 13. This is David struggling. This is his prayer. I'm going to give you an example of a struggling prayer. Psalm 13. How long will thou forget me? Sounds like familiar, huh? But tell God. Have a time with God. Tell him, hey, I've been praying. I have a need. How long without you will forgive me? Oh, Lord, forever? You promised me you will heal me. You promised me you will do. I'm waiting. You know, God wants you to challenge him. Not demand from him, but he wants to hear from you. How long will thou hide thy face from me? That's wrestling with God. You don't have to be afraid because you're not doing it in vengeance or, you know, demanding or in a bad attitude. In fact, we should get an attitude. We should have an attitude. Next one. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrows in my heart daily? God, when? He says, how long shall my enemy be assaulted over me? Satan, spirits, poking at you, punching at you. One day you're hit, next day you're back in the hospital. Consider, oh, hear me. Oh, Lord, my God, please lighten my eyes. Let's, you know, talking about if it's discontinued, I die. Lest I sleep the sleep of death. God, if you don't help me, I'm done. But you promised me. Wrestle with God. You promised me. And you cannot lie to me. Let my enemy say, you know, lest my enemy says I have prevailed. Satan will never get that far to say that he prevailed over God. Don't worry about it. He's a loser anyway. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. God will not allow that. God will not allow that. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I think it's one more, or that's the last one. I will sing unto the Lord. Just come to church. Praise him. I don't care if you have to drag yourself in church. I don't care if you don't feel good. Because you have dealt bountifully with me. And God, even if you don't do nothing enough for me, you have done just about enough. I want to go to the New Testament one, and I will promise you I'll finish with this one. I got to find it, though. Just give me a minute. Colossians 4:12. And I will finish with this one. Colossians 4:12, another example of wrestling in the New Testament. Epaphras, I guess that's how you pronounce it, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, the NIV, the New International Version. Who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus? Send greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. You can find that prayer. It's Colossians 4:12. We need to pray for one another so we can stand the darts of the devil, so we cannot stand his attack. We need to pray for one another. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you to help us in time of troubles, any time of need. Father, you promised you will help us. But Father, we need to take a step toward you, Father. Like Jacob did, he took a step towards. When he found himself alone, when he found himself that nothing else would work, his schemes, his thoughts, his ideas, his plans, he has exhausted himself completely, and it didn't work out. Sometimes we go to a point, Father, that we go to the doctor, and we do this, and we do that, and nothing works. Things like we get worse instead of better. Father, and we don't know what to do. Would you beg us to come? Come. Because we know that you are good. You are a good God. And you want us to come and trust you and to depend on you, Father. But we must make an effort, Father. We must come. Take a step towards you, Father. And when nothing else is working, we just take your promises. We just take your word. And we just hold on. Hold on, little bride. Hold on. Because he loves you. And he cares for you. And he wants to do things for you. He's God. He wants to protect you. He wants to care for you. He wants to love you. He wants to provide for you. Like a husband to a wife. Father, forgive us. Sometimes we have faltered. Sometimes, Father, we are looking at the circumstance, the situation. And our prophet told us not to. Let's look at your word. Father, just like that blind man, his confession was, I can see. That was what the word says. He got prayed for, and that is what he believed. Until his eye was open. And sometimes we had to, even when we still don't feel it, when we still don't see it, we know you're still working on it. It doesn't matter if I can feel it or see it. As long as I know, Father, that I've got hold to that word is life to me. Even more than life itself, Father. Father, we're struggling. I'm struggling. My wife, life is full of struggles, Father. But we are so thankful, Father, that you gave us the best weapon that any man could ever have. And that was your word. Father, we might have to fight until the end. We might have to chop away all the way to the end. But we are committed, Father. That's what we will do. As long as you give us the strength, as long as you give us the leadership, as long as that Holy Spirit, that force in us, will not only help us, Father, but keep us, lead us and guide us, Father, we will follow. Forgive us for we have been lazy, Father. Forgive us for sometimes our errors and choices. Father, but we love you. And I know you are not judging us, right? You love us. And you can take everything that we do bad and you can turn it all for good. So, Father, this morning, I pray for this congregation, those that are sick, Father. And we tell Satan, you lost. Satan, you're just a liar. Satan, let go. Let go that hold, that grip you got on Sister Esther and Sister Navarro. Father, that we got troubles in this congregation, depressions, this and that and the other. We're tired, we're sick and tired, Father, of Satan. Father, why don't you come down, Father, and just break every chain. Lose your people, Satan. We serve you not this morning, and it has to be done. We love you, Father, and we thank you. And thank you, Father. You are such a good God. You're so faithful. And you ever true to your word. Father, help us. This local church to unite our minds, our thoughts, in being one accord, in one mind. Father, we need each other. We don't have to fight this fight by ourselves, Father. Because the Bible said if I can change 10,000, we can change 2,000, 3,000 if we come together, Father. Help us, Father, that we can gain the trust of each other, Father, because that is the main thing. We trust you, Lord. We know we trust you. Sometimes we need to trust each other just as good, Father. That when we got problems, we got a need, we can confide in one another. Brother, I need help. Sister, I need help. Because that's what we are here for. To show the world that God is alive and well. How is it going to happen if he don't manifest himself to his people? Because they are looking for a God out there. It's chaos. Somebody's looking. And how they can see God if he don't manifest himself in our flesh? Because that is the only way they're going to see him, Father. And that's what God told his disciples, to love one another. Because by this, everybody will know that you are my disciples indeed. When you have love for one another. That means we care for one another. We pray for one another. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one has a problem, we all go down in our knees. When one is sick, we all go down in our knees, Father. That's how we show that we care. We call. We find out. We encourage. We help. Father, I am so blessed to belong to this little congregation, Father. Because I know they love me. They love my wife. Love one another, Father. And Father, there's no, in this world, there's no other force as great as love. Father, we ask you to help us, Father. Help us to understand, Father, the times that we are living and the things that is required for us to do. Because that is what we want to do, Father. Father, we come so you can reveal your word, so you can give us understanding, Father. But we want that to become flesh. We want that word to become manifested in your people, Father. And we thank you. We thank you for this church. We thank you for everyone. And we thank you, Father, for you, Father. Because you are God and there's no other God like you. Thank you for loving us, Father. Even though we were your enemy, you still love us. And I still don't understand how you love me so much. But thank you. And we thank you. And now, Father, as we close the service, we ask you to have your way in your people. Father, we're sick and tired. We want to live, but we cannot live until the last one comes in. In the meantime, Father, help us to continue this journey, Father. Continue this journey doing your will. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us, Father, the wisdom. Give us, Father, what we need of. That's why we had this ministry. That's why we had this pastor. Because we had to be taught, Father. We had to be shown, Father, until we grow to that maturity, Father. And one of these days, like our brother pastor said, that maturity is out of here, the coming of the Lord, when we get that new body, Father. We thank you again, Father, and we appreciate everything you have done. Bless your people, Father. In the name of Jesus, we ask you all these things. Amen. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Oh, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes. I lift my hand above my knees, and I worship God. You need him. I need him. We need him. Every minute, every second, every day, every month, every year.